Hi everyone, this is the second last edition of me doing this weekly update this year. It is the Christmas edition, the first of the holiday editions of this time of year. For those of you listening only, I am attired in a more appropriate holiday fashion today, and more appropriate for this part of the world. Now, I know that many of you know this, but Australia is on opposite cycles for seasons. So everyone is so used, or certainly most of my audience, is so used to Christmas being, you know, cold and wintry and snowy and all this sort of stuff. For us, Christmas is very much beaches and swimming pools and things like that. Actually, if I'm honest, most of the year is kind of like that, but this is the warm part of the year where we get to do that. And I did consider, like, just for a moment, doing this in the pool and realize that I do want to keep my readers, and I don't know that rubbing noses in the fact that it's so nice and sunny over here too much is a good idea. If you want to live vicariously through me just a little bit, then you can look at some of my tweets. But be that as it may, it's going to be the same content, and I do have a bunch of content this week, so nothing new there. Now, the first thing that I wrote about this week, and I think is a really interesting discussion, and sort of a little bit of a, I guess, a psychology discussion as well, is about EV certificates. And I had wanted for some time to put an EV cert on Have I Been Pwned. So EV being extended validation, different to a DV, which would be a domain validation cert. So most people who have HTTPS on their website are probably used to going to somewhere like perhaps Let's Encrypt and saying, I would like a cert, and you demonstrate that you control the domain, and then they give you the certificate. So you have verified that you own the domain, and that's the extent of it. Now, with an EV cert, you're verifying that there is an entity behind it, and that entity is being verified by various independent means. And I sort of take you through the process in the blog post, where because I wanted to have an EV cert for Have I Been Pwned, I had to go and register a business name with our Australian Securities and Investments Commission. There are other ways you can do it. That was sort of the cheapest, most expeditious way. When I bought the cert, I had to go through all sorts of verification processes, including having a video conversation with the company I used. I used a company called Cert Simple, run by an Aussie bloke based out of the UK, who made it as simple as they possibly could. Anyway, in fact, I had the video chat with DigiCert, who are the CA that they use, but Cert Simple is the one I bought the cert through. So I had to do all this sort of validation stuff, have the video chat, literally had to hold my driver's license up under my face so that they could snap a photo of it. And I guess the point that I make in the blog post is that when you go through this EV cert process and someone comes to your site and they see the EV cert, and this is where you actually see the green bar with the name of the organization on it as well, people can have a much higher degree of confidence, not just that their traffic is being encrypted and that they're speaking to the site they think they're speaking to, but that they're actually speaking to the entity that they think they're speaking to, that an entity owns that. Because really, there's nothing to stop anyone from going and registering any domain they like that's available, that might be very, very close to another domain in name. It might be PayPal with a misspelling or supportmypaypal.com, and then go and get a domain validation certificate. Right? And, you know, obviously that's misleading. However, if it's an EV cert, then you can't go through and actually do the entity verification process, which I did with my particular site. So that's sort of the good side. The bad side is that you're relying on people actually paying attention to it. And many people made this comment in the comments section of the blog post. And it's a very relevant observation, in that we're saying EVs make sense when people actively look for it and they make sure that they're talking to who they think they are. Now, that's got questionable value because people don't pay a lot of attention to a lot of these little security indicators. So for me, I think it was more interesting to sort of go through the process and have the discussion about it and debate how much value we actually get from security indicators on pages than what it was to get the certificate itself. Having said that, I am also operating this site in an area where there's a lot of dodgy stuff going on. There's a lot of people standing up dodgy sites, charging people money and then giving them other people's data or giving them things that, you know, probably are a little bit shady. There's been a lot of spoofing of Have I Been Pwned out there. And this does kind of raise the bar a little bit in the same way that a verified Twitter account raises the bar. So you can still go out and create a Twitter account that has a name that sounds like PayPal and has the PayPal logo on it, and people will still DM their personal details to that account. But when it's missing that little blue seal, you know, there's just that other little indicator. So this is not a perfect thing by any means, but I do think it was an interesting exercise, and I think the discussion was very interesting. In 2 years' time, when it's up for renewal, I may well not do it. I'm not sure. We'll see what the world looks like then. So that was the EV certs. I wrote my Security Sense post as well. And I wrote this at a time where we're at the end of the year, and reporters in particular love to talk about how can we bundle all of the observations up into a nice 12-month block. You know, what are your 10 most notable things that happened in 2016? And when I was thinking about this, and I was getting asked these questions, I think the most notable thing for me security-wise was not so much the individual incidents, but it was the rate at which we saw incidents that happened many years earlier, and then we only found out this year. And what I think that means for us when we look forward as well is we have to work on this assumption that there's a whole lot of bad stuff happened to our data, either as customers or our sites as people that manage sites, that has already happened that we just don't even know about. So think about it this year. What do we got? LinkedIn, MySpace, Dropbox, Yahoo version 1 2016 edition, 500 million accounts, Yahoo version 2 2016 edition, 1 billion accounts, all happened years ago, and we only find out now. And it's a little bit scary because it means we're saying there's a lot of bad stuff that's happened and we just don't know about it yet, assuming that that pattern is just not a one-off that only happened in 2016. And it's not, you know, it's just not going to happen that way. So I think the worrying thing for us now is we have to look forward and say, well, how many other incidents are we going to have where there's been these mega breaches, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or in Yahoo's case, the first one to hit the big B. How many more of these are we going to have that we just don't know about yet, but they've already happened? Maybe a little bit depressing, but I think it's an interesting thing to think about. Another one I wrote this week, and this was sort of both good and bad, was Ethereum. So this is the blockchain crypto implementation where Ethereum had their forum hacked. And look, it's never a nice thing when you have your things hacked. Even if it is just a forum, it's not like it was a vulnerability in their blockchain implementation or something. It was just a forum. Still, it had things like private messages on it. It had passwords on it, albeit mostly bcrypt hashed, which is good news. So obviously not a good thing for them. Now, that happened a week ago today. It happened on the 16th of December. And what played out after that, I think, is very telling. And this is sort of, for me at least, the way that I would judge the organization. So something bad has happened. How have you now dealt with it? Now, they dealt with it really well. And in this blog post, I write about things like prompt communication. So they learned of the incident. They obviously had to verify it was legitimate. They had to go through and make sure that they'd plugged the hole, all this sort of thing. And then they notified people within a few days. They were very direct and honest. And they said, look, you know, here is what happened. We're going to tell you what happened. And I'm writing this at a time where we've had incidents like Pay-as-you-Gym in the UK, where someone popped up on Twitter and said, hey, I've got your things, you know, get in touch and I'll give you the details. And they just ignored the guy for 2 days before he inevitably dumped the data publicly. I'll refer back to Pay-as-you-Gym in a moment as well. So they also explained some technical detail. So they talked about the algorithm, that they talked about bcrypt. They go on to talk about how it actually happened, which is very good news. They talk about resetting passwords. They tell you exactly what data was actually exposed as well. They said, here's what we've lost. We've lost this, that, that, and that. Pay-as-you-Gym said, we haven't lost any credit cards or any card data. And then other people are going, yeah, you have. I'm looking at it here. Here's your card data. So they then had to send out another notification a couple of days later saying, you know, look, yeah, by the way, we did actually lose card data. But don't worry, it was only the first six digits and the last four digits. And remember, the last four digits are what you use for identity verification on many different services. But the point is that they weren't up front. And by all accounts, it sounds like they didn't actually know what they lost. And if they did know what they lost, then they weren't being candid about it in their initial communication. Regardless, I don't want to get off topic because Ethereum actually did a very good job at being straight. And the last thing they did as well, and this sounds small, but I reckon it makes a big difference, is they're apologetic. So they said, "We deeply regret that this incident occurred." Now, what's interesting is when you look at the way many organizations try to paint an incident like this. And I'll give you an example. When Michael Page had an incident very recently, and I'm actually going to, I got this in a slide. I'm doing this as part of one of my talks in London. And I want to tell you exactly what they, exactly the wording they use, because I think it's kind of significant. And you'll see why in a moment. So what they said is, "We regret to inform you that on 1 November 2016, we were made aware that an unauthorized third party illegally gained access, online access, to a development server used by our IT provider, blah, 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 blah." Unauthorized third party illegally gained online access. They published all their database backups into a folder facing the web with directory listing enabled. Someone found it. You know, like, this is what happened. Yet they're spinning it, well, they span it rather, as on, you know, illegal access, unauthorized, blah, 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 blah. Now, the point is, going back to Ethereum, is Ethereum were very straight about this, and they said, "Look, we're sorry that this happened," you know? And this was a case where someone did actually socially engineer a provider and then gain illegal access. It certainly wasn't, "I wonder if I can make an HTTP get to this file path." Now, the reason why I wrote about Ethereum in the first place is that they self-submitted over 16,000 records to "Have I Been Pwned?" Now, this is actually the second time this has happened, where an organization said, "Look, we have been owned. We're going to give you the data, give me the data, so that I can make it more readily searchable by those who've been impacted." And I actually ended up notifying hundreds of "Have I Been Pwned?" subscribers who were entrusting me to look out for stuff like this. So a very, very different kind of open, candid approach by Ethereum that I was happy to see. And frankly, that the thing I was most happiest about was their communication, as opposed to, "Yes, they also gave me the data. It's a small drop in the ocean for "Have I Been Pwned?" So that was really interesting. And I think we can sort of learn a lot about communication from that. I do have something in draft about how to succeed after you've failed. So how should organizations communicate data breaches? And I've got lots of examples, both good and bad, including all the ones I've just mentioned. So that was Ethereum. Now, the last thing I wrote, and this was just yesterday, and this was around the value that any website has, regardless of whether they think they have useful data in there or not. And I said, all websites have something of value for attackers: reputation. Now, the reason why I wrote this is that I see a lot of people who are responsible for websites who may have some really dodgy security stuff going on. So, you know, this is things, everything from really, really weak password requirements through to missing HTTPS through to much more severe things. And they say, "Don't worry, there's nothing of value for attackers on our site." Right? Like, we don't have credit cards or we don't have other sensitive information. And what this blog post shows is how valuable reputation is. And I go through and I show a whole bunch of different websites. Some of them are WordPress websites with vulnerable plugins. Other ones are other technology stacks. I show all these websites where attackers have put phishing pages on their site. Now, this is the value to attackers, regardless of what data you've got on the site. When the site has a reputation which is not a negative one, okay? So it doesn't have to be like, "Look, I got heaps of inbound links and all that sort of stuff." It just has to be a site that is not going to be blocked by Chrome, blocked by a VPN provider, blocked by your ISP, blocked from actually clicking through the search results on Google. And what I do is I go through and I show you all these examples of phishing pages running on these sites that have consequently been blocked via those channels. Now, these phishing pages are useful for attackers, or rather the domains and the websites they're sitting on are useful for attackers, because those sites are not yet suspicious. They haven't been flagged as potentially malicious. So what you end up with is you end up with all these, particularly in my case, Outlook logon page examples that are hosted on totally unrelated sites. The site itself is still functioning fine. They don't want to nuke the site, otherwise it would give the game away. But they're exploiting the positive reputation of the site in order to host their malicious content. So I hope that people take that blog post, and every time someone says, there's not really anything of value on our site to attackers, they remind them that reputation is important, and if you don't protect it, you're going to lose your reputation because phishing stuff will go on there and you'll get blocked by every possible means. So that was pretty much everything I wrote about. A new piece of tech arrived, actually, this week. So I'm really excited about these because I live with Bose headphones. And just for the sake of clarity, and I don't know if people actually think this, but people don't just send me random free stuff. Like, I go out and buy this stuff. I got a new set of Bose headphones. These are QC35s. They replaced my old ones, which I never know where they've gone. I had the QC15s, the old sort of silver ones with the cable, and I've used them for hundreds and hundreds of hours of aeroplane travel, and it's the first thing that goes on my head every time I get even into an airport, because I just want to block out that noise. I use them to edit all my Pluralsight videos, anything else where audio quality is really important. And I'm really, really happy with these ones. They're the wireless ones. The final catalyst for this was that I had a short domestic flight the other day, and I've got the iPhone 7 now, which I'm recording this on, and of course it doesn't have a headphone jack. And I know that Apple said, well, look, this was courage. Taking out the jack, it was courageous. For me, it just kind of pissed me off every time I'm trying to plug this into something else and I need the adapter. Having said that, these actually sound a heap better. They're a much better fit to my ear. They're like a larger can, if you like, just there. And they feel more comfortable when they sit on. The noise cancellation is better. I was doing them back to back with the 15s. And then the sound quality when they play is better too. So I'm looking forward to using these when I next head overseas, which will be to London in a few weeks. So for folks, if you're in the London area, I'll be at NDC in London in the middle of Jan. I'm also going to be in Belgium for a week after that, and then in Denmark for the week after that. So I'm going to be getting around a little bit. I'm also starting to plan a really big trip in the middle of June when it will actually be nice weather over in Europe. So I'm going to be at NDC in Oslo around about the middle of June. And I'm probably going to have 2 or 3 weeks either side of that in other parts of Europe doing workshops and other events. So if you are in the Europe area around that time and you want me to come and say good day, let me know, because I would love to start lining up workshops well in advance as well. Last thing this week is my sponsor is Raygun. And Raygun I have written about many times. I use very extensively on Have I Been Pwned. It catches all my unhandled errors. It logs them somewhere. I go through and triage them and get insights into what went wrong that you just can't do without a framework like that. So I'm really happy to have Raygun on there. You're going to see them there for another couple of weeks yet. And I'm particularly happy because it is a service that I've used really extensively. So clearly I'm endorsed in it, which is good news. It's win-win for everyone. So, look, that's about it. I'm going to come back and do this again on, I guess it will be just before New Year's Eve. And I hope that everyone enjoying this goes and has happy Christmases and holidays and everything else. And thank you very much for watching this one and all the other ones I've done throughout the years. See you later, guys.